great ministry that God has blessed us to be a part of with our own missionaries right here in America, and what a great need that is. So I want to remind you that Easter is coming real soon.
Amen.
And it's right around the corner, as Mike says, the Super Bowl. And we'll start that day out with a sunrise service at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. That way we play it safe with the weather. At 7:30, we'll have breakfast, another opportunity for us to meet and eat, and then Sunday school and worship. And want you to talk it up. Now, did y'all know that's on April Fool's Day? So why don't we all fool the devil and invite everybody we can, and I'd love to see God's house packed out that day, amen? So let's just say, devil, April Fools, he's alive, amen? So April Fools, April the 1st, let's fool the devil. Let's all be at church for the sunrise service, the worship hour. Have a great day in the Lord. I can't think of a better day. And our offering that's going toward the Andrew Armstrong Easter offering, that's what supports the missionaries right here in America. And I'll tell you, if America ever needed ministry to, it's today. If we ever needed revival, it's today. Well, take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, and one verse, Luke 24, 32. Hearts on fire for God. Hearts on fire for God. Let's all stand in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. I don't have the time to read the whole account to you, but I'll tell it to you. How's that? And I'll just give you this one verse that summarizes this whole account of the disciples who Jesus met on the road to Emmaus. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I pray for your fire to fall here today, that we'll not go through the motions of church, but we will experience the all-consuming fire of our God. For our God is not dead, he's alive. And I pray, Lord, that our lives will reflect that, that we'll let our light so shine, the fire of God will burn bright in us, that we'll not put our candle under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that all in the house may see that Jesus is alive. I pray for your fresh oil. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm still dealing with this thought of when God shows up. Will you? Now, you know, I didn't know I was going to do this, but I think I'm going to go all the way to Easter with this, because he sure did show up on Easter Sunday morning. Amen? Amen. But I want to deal with this even going into the Lord's Supper, and I want to go ahead and plant this seed in your mind. So be studying Luke 24, where it says in verse 30, it came to pass as he said it, meet with them. He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And it says their eyes were open. You know, I don't know what it is that's holding you back. Are y'all listening? Because I'm watching you today, especially watching our students, because I'm thinking about some things we're talking about on Sunday nights. I want to ask you something. Is your heart really on fire? I mean, what lights your fire? Sports? I'm glad that the Vacation Bible School theme is on sports, because that's something that people enjoy. But does it take a ball game to light your fire? I mean, March Madness, I was so glad UNC beat Duke. But anyway, excuse me. Let's talk about the wins, not the losses. All right, I'm a positive person. But what is it? What does it take to light your fire? I mean, really. What is it that really lights you up? What gets you going? What excites you? Because that's really what this is about. I read about this small town. It only had one church, and it was cold, and it was dead, and it was mostly a social gathering for the main community. Well, one Saturday night, the church building caught a fire. And there was this one atheist in the town, and he was seen running to the church. And one of the church members said to the atheist, he said, man, I've never seen you running to church before. He said, well, I've never seen the church on fire before. I mean, you know what? You don't have to advertise a fire to get a crowd, do you? I mean, when people are excited about Jesus, did you know that can be very contagious?
Amen.
And that's a good thing. Amen. Wouldn't it be great that you and I were so excited about who we were in Christ that the whole community of Anderson Creek would want to come out and see what's happening and see us burn for the glory of God? Now, I'll tell you something, the church you don't need, I've learned. You don't need any fire extinguishers. You know why? There's too many people that have fire extinguishers. They want to put the fire out of somebody. You let somebody get excited about Jesus. You let someone really have a heart for God, and all of a sudden there's somebody. They want to put that fire out. Do y'all relate to that? I do. There's always somebody that's saying, hey, you intimidate me. You're too excited about Jesus. I've been told that all my life. I'm just a wired person. What wires you? What sets your soul on fire? Did you know the Bible will take the word fire and equates that to who God is? Let me give you several examples. When God confirmed his covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15, 17, it was a smoking furnace and a burning fire that passed through the pieces of the sacrifice. It was a pillar of cloud, the Bible says, that led the children of Israel by day, and a pillar of fire that led them by night. That was God. God had first spoken to Moses from the burning bush. And then again at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, 18, God descended upon it in a fire, the Bible says. Later in the New Testament, God described or he descended upon the early disciples in that upper room. And the Bible says he descended upon them like a fire, cloven tongues like as a fire. And then my favorite is Hebrews 12, 29, where it says, for our God is a consuming fire. So if God is on fire, why aren't we? I mean, God loves you passionately. Do you know that? He loves you so much he gave his son to die. He didn't just say, I love you with words. He proved it. Amen. So where is your love today? What sets your soul on fire? So it's appropriate that the definition of a burning heart would be a heart on fire for the presence of God because of his presence. Can you imagine what this day was like? This is Easter. That's the account of Luke 24. You say, preacher, are you getting ahead? No, I've got so many sermons for Easter, I just decided to preach one every week going all the way to Easter, okay? So here's Easter Sunday, but here's the problem. No one's a believing. I mean, the disciples are not believing. There's so much doubt. They're disheartened. They're discouraged. I mean, they know the women were the first to the tomb, and they know the tomb is empty, but there's no body. And so here's the context of this scripture. Here's two disciples. We know one by name, Cleophas. We know him. We don't know the name of the other disciple, but here's these two disciples, and they're on the road to Emmaus. Emmaus was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and so they're heading back home, and they're talking along the way. They're discouraged because no one has seen the body of Jesus. But who shows up but Jesus? And they didn't even know it. I wonder if Jesus showed up here today, would we even know it? Are y'all listening today? I mean, are we so cold in our hearts toward God? Somehow someone's put our fire out with our problems and our circumstances and our difficulties. And we're so troubled today that if Jesus was to show up, we'd miss him. So when God shows up, will you? So I want to deal with three things real quickly today. By the way, did you know that the word heart appears in the King James Version 830 times? There's not a word that appears more than the word Lord, God, and Father. It appears more than the word fire. But that's amazing. 830 times the word fire is recorded. The word heart is recorded. And by the way, the word heart in the Greek is kardia, and it actually means mind, the seat of thought or emotion. So keep that in mind. We're talking about hearts on fire for God. Number one, we're going to talk about his presence. Yes, that's what I've been preaching on, his presence. Look at verse 32 of chapter 24, the first part. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? On Easter Sunday, two forlorn disciples They left Jerusalem to Emmaus, a small village, and they were weary on their journey. They were tired. They were discouraged. And all they were thinking about is that our Savior is dead. There's no more hope. And I mean, yeah, this was on Easter Sunday. They hadn't seen the body of Jesus. But what does it say in verse 15? Look at the latter part of verse 15. I want to talk about the fire of His presence. Jesus Himself, it says, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. When you're down to nothing, did you know God is up to something? I mean, when you're discouraged and you've been through your Gethsemane and you've been through your Calvary experience and everything has sort of gone south for you, I'll tell you, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. I mean, when you are weakest, that's when He's the strongest. That's not just good preaching, folks. That's a fact. Did you know that? Because sometimes we have to get desperate before God. And some of us have never been desperate. We're so blessed in America. We've got so many things, we don't need God. Yeah, that's the truth. I mean, even in our churches. I mean, we got air-conditioned buildings. We got pews, you know, that are padded. You know, back years ago, history, churches were packed out. And, you know, they didn't have air conditioning. And they didn't have padded pews. And they didn't have all the blessings that we have. And yet, there was more fire. There was more fire in the pulpit. There was more fire in the pew. People were on fire for God. You know why? Because people made God their focus. I mean, hey, do you know what they did? We're going to see that in a minute. They didn't have all the what I call competition. Jesus has competition today. Television. Do you know people watch television? This is known for Christians. Christians spend more time watching television than they ever do reading their Bible. And no wonder we don't see the fire of God in our hearts. But here's what's happening. Here are these two guys. They're walking on the road to Emmaus. They had expected Jesus to be their political leader, their political Messiah who would deliver Israel, it says. And like the angel had proclaimed, they'd been looking for a king, but their king's mission had been cut short, they thought. Now, they're looking at it this way. His nails in his hands had become his scepter, cross for a throne. His kingdom was a narrow tomb. But the story is not over yet. They hadn't yet seen that Jesus turned Calvary into Easter. Pentecost hadn't happened yet. Their sadness was rooted in misunderstanding. And folks, let me tell you, in the church, listen to me, oftentimes this is what happens. Their sadness was rooted in misunderstanding. Misunderstanding led to disappointment. Disappointment led to doubt. Doubt led to discouragement. That can happen to us because we don't see the entire picture. Isn't that true? We only see part. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly. But all Jesus had shown up. And by the way, when He shows up, do you know things change? And that's why some churches don't want Jesus to show up, because they don't want to change. They want to keep doing it the way they've always done it. We're talking about that in the new members class this morning, the seven last words of a dying church. Well, we've never done it that way before. When Jesus shows up, when He shows up, things begin to happen. And that's what we see here, the faith of His presence. Now, the truth of the matter is, there was a lack of faith here. But listen to what happens. By the way, I you know how I like breaking words down. I got to thinking about the word fire. Faith is real evidence. I mean, putting your faith in Jesus Christ, the evidence is He was right there all the time. I mean, in your valley experience, in your Gethsemane, in your Calvary experience, did you know He was there all the time? Like the footprints in the sand, you thought that was your footprints? He was carrying you, amen? And yet we don't see it, because we don't have the eyes of faith. Now, it's interesting. It says here in verse 16 that their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But let's talk about the faith of His presence. It says in verse 18, "And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" Are you a... In other words, where have you been? Now, He's talking to Jesus. Now, do you think God has a sense of humor? I wonder, here's Jesus, and he's asking, well, what's your conversation all about? Well, didn't you know about Jesus? You haven't heard about him? And Jesus says, well, tell me about him. You know, Jesus was fascinated to hear how people saw him. Are y'all listening to me? You know, I've asked people about me, and I've learned things about me that I didn't know. You know, people will create, they'll add to it, you know, they'll add more. And you know, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? You know, and, you know, Peter made that great statement, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, here it is, as a stranger, and here's a question. Have we become strangers to the presence of God? Are we a stranger to the presence of God? Could it be that our eyes of faith are covered with circumstances and burdens and problems that we don't see him working in our life? Here it was on Easter Sunday, and these disciples were walking right beside the resurrected Christ, and they didn't know it. John 1:11 says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Verse 24 of chapter 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. The faith of his presence is that he was no longer in the grave. Amen? He was no longer to be seen in the grave. He had risen from the dead. The faith of his presence is saying, hey, he did what he said he would do. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but yet not seen. I'm telling you, put your faith in God, trust him, and he always comes through. Are y'all listening? You know what faith is? Faith is saying, I believe that chair will hold me. I believe faith says, hey, that chair will hold me. But if I have true faith in the presence of the Lord, then I'll sit in it. Amen? Amen. Now, I didn't know if termites got in here last night and ate up in the wood in this chair. I didn't know if someone got real smart and knew I was going to sit in this chair and took out all the screws or took out whatever's holding it together. But, you know, I had enough faith to sit in it. But you know what? Not until I sat in this chair did I know it would hold me. And I'm going to tell you, you put your faith in his presence and know that he's holding you. Amen? Amen. And you're resting in his everlasting presence. Let me tell you something, friend. God will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. And you can put your faith in that. Amen? Amen. You put your faith in a lot of other things. All of you have a lot of faith. You drive, don't you? You all have a faith. You go through intersections all the time. A lot of times we don't even look. You say, well, it's a green light, but that don't mean nothing for a lot of people that their light's red. You know people run red lights, don't you? Every day. Well, here's the fact. You put your faith in people. You put your faith in other things. Why don't we put our faith in his presence? That he will be with us, never to leave us nor forsake us. And then the fellowship of his presence. This is a big deal now. I'm going somewhere. Big deal. We talk about eating here and fellowshipping. Here's the big deal. It says in verse 29, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, stay with us. Here's the ultimate. Write this down if you're taking notes. Here's the ultimate when it comes to knowing his presence. Write it down. And that is to know him intimately and to enjoy him personally. That's what these two guys, they had enjoyed their fellowship with Jesus walking along the road to Emmaus. So much so, the Bible says Jesus started to go in another direction. They said, wait a minute, we've enjoyed this fellowship. Can we continue this fellowship? Their hearts were burning. They wanted more of Jesus. And here they are coming together. And they said, will you abide with us there in verse 29? Are you enjoying the presence of God? Do you enjoy coming to church? Is it boring to you? Maybe the reason church is boring to you is because you don't put nothing in it. I'll tell you what we all will get out of this service, what we put in it. Amen. If we've prayed up, if we've come here with a heart hungry for God, we desire God, we want to experience God. I don't think church ever should be boring. Bless God, I think it ought to be as live as it can be. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, we're Baptists. Well, friend, I don't operate as a Baptist. I operate as a Christian. Amen? Amen? I've got a relationship, not a religion. Amen? Amen? I don't want some dead orthodoxy. I've got a living Savior. Amen. I believe I'll go ahead and have a spell because I have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and my fellowship is in Him. And if you're fellowshipping with Him, then we can all be together. Amen. We can all have a good time in Jesus. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them. Bless God, He'll show up because we came together. If we don't do nothing but get together and eat, He'll still show up. He loves to eat. You know, one of the things, and I'm going to get ahead of myself, but it's interesting that He asked for some fish, and here He is resurrected. He asked His disciples, He said, you got anything to eat? You know, Jesus bound to have been a Baptist. He had to be a Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was one of His best buds, so Jesus had to be a Baptist. I'm just kidding. But the fellowship of His presence. Look, folks, His presence should tell, it should tell us something that hey, we must be doing something right here. He shows up because we're all seeking Him. We want fellowship with God. And by the way, it's funny how the fellowship will divide up because Satan loves to divide. You know, I've never been a part of a church split. Never have. You know why? I have refused to. I will never be a part. I don't want to be a part of something that divides the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you something. You'll never see me go out and start a church somewhere. And I'm going to tell you why. I'm following Him. And I don't want nobody following this Him. There's only one Him that's worthy to follow. Someone said, well, I know Him. Well, don't you know Him? Well, I know Ronnie Stewart, and I believe he's a man of God, and I want to follow him. I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow him. Amen. Because you know what? He'll never lead you wrong. Amen. There's the Jim Joneses and the whatever Jimmys out there and whatever their names are that have led many people wrong. Amen? But I want to tell you something. You follow him, and you fellowship with him, and you'll never go wrong. You'll never go wrong. And then second of all, his proclamation. Not only do we see his presence, but while he talked with us, go back to verse 32, while he talked with us by the way. Now, I'm going to answer the question. I know you're thinking this in verse 16. Look at that. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Now, we're going to get into some deep theology right now. So, students, you want to learn something, then I want you to learn something today. Because there's a lot of thought about why did their... God allowed this. He says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. I believe God held back Jesus' identity from them for a while on purpose. He was soon to leave earth. Now listen to this. He was soon to leave earth and return to his heavenly Father. He would no longer be with them physically. Now get this. And on the road to Emmaus, he was transferring their dependency upon his physical presence and moving them to the Word of God. Because you see, it was the Word of God that enlightened them. It was the Word of God. It won't Jesus. Jesus was just, they couldn't see that was Jesus. Now, I'm feeling, I messed up this morning. You know, I invent words. I do. I told the class this morning I was getting goose pimples. And Dawn, you didn't say that. Goosebumps. She corrected me. Some of us just get pimples. I'm telling you, Jesus excites me. He lights my fire. He'll give you goosebumps. I'll tell you, what is it that lights your fire? Well, here it says, as he opens the word, he opens their eyes to see him. Now, not after the flesh, but revealed by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Do you understand why he did this? He's going back to heaven, but he's leaving the Word. It's extremely significant that it was the Word and not the physical sense that made him real to these disciples. And folks, let me tell you something. We have the living Word of God today. This book is alive, and it brings life. The devil don't want you reading it. If there's dust on your Bible, there's dirt in your life. Sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. I'm going to tell you, this book is powerful. This is not just a textbook. It's not a book to be understood. It is a book to be obeyed. But if you will obey it, you'll understand it. Did y'all get that? It's much deeper than just intellectual thinking. It's not just about your brain, it's about your heart. And this book right here, young people, students, listen, this is where you're rooted right here. You named your group Rooted, then get rooted in the Word of God. That's where you're rooted. And guess what? No devil will blow your tree over. No devil will blow your house over. I'm telling you something. Here's what Jesus was doing. Jesus is smart. Did you know that? He was proclaiming his word to these disciples, and the word brought light and life to them. They didn't say, oh, yes, we recognize him. No, they said, we knew him because he opened the word to us. I'm reading. We knew him because he opened the word to us. That's how they knew him, and that's how we know him now. Amen? I haven't seen him physically. Have you? But the word becomes flesh in us as we study it, as we read it. It takes root in our heart and it becomes us. Think about that. Today we need the same thing. We don't have Jesus before us in physical form, but we do have the written word of God to bring Jesus Christ to us and make him real. People follow people, but we need to follow the word of God because God's word will always lead us the right path. And then there was communication. You see that word communication there in verse 17. And he said unto them, what kind of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? I believe Jesus asked this question to start a conversation. God wants to communicate with people. He wants to talk to you. Do you know prayer is a dialogue? It's not just us talking. You know what the problem? Look up here, good Christian folks. We don't take enough time to be still and listen to God. It's a dialogue. We want to tell him. We want to ask him. We want to tell God what to do. Go on, be honest. We do it. But you're not going to tell him what to do. He's God. And when you humble yourself and let him tell you what to do, your life will be a lot happier. Amen. Just humble yourself and let him communicate. I believe our God is a God of communication. I really do. He spoke the world into existence. His word is powerful. Do y'all understand the power of his word? Do you understand he wants to communicate to us? Right now, the word of God is being communicated because you know what this old Baptist preacher is doing? I'm just preaching the word. That's all I'm doing. Hey, he communicated with them. And then from the communication came conviction. Look at verse 25. And he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. You see, this proclamation of the conversation brought about conviction. If Jesus sought us when we were out and out sinners, surely he'll seek us when we're saved. And maybe moving away from him. Maybe your heart, you're feeling a little cool today. Maybe you're complacent. During this journey, he opened the scriptures, the Bible said, and what a wonderful time it must have been. You know what Jesus was doing? Man, he was conducting a Bible study on this road. That's exactly what he was doing. How would you like to have a recording of what Jesus did that day? Here he is, starting at the book of Genesis, going through the Old Testament, saying, now here's Jesus, here's the Messiah in this passage, and here's another one. And if you read the Bible, you don't find, and you don't find Jesus, and I'll tell you something, you're not reading the Bible I've got. Because let me tell you something, if you miss Jesus, then you miss what it's all about. You need to go back and find him there. He'll be there in the prophecy. He'll be there in every precept, in every parable, even in the poetry. He's all over the place. This book is all about Jesus. I told the students, you want to understand the book of Revelation, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not revelations. It's not plural. No, it's singular because it's the revelation of one, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what this book is all about, from Genesis to Revelation. I know you might have got bored this day, today. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But you know what? There is something about that name. There's power in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. It's in Jesus' name that he hears and answers prayer. It's in Jesus' name that we can study this book here today. It's in Jesus' name that we're here. I didn't come today for you. You didn't come to me. We came in Jesus' name today. And if you came in Jesus' name, you're going to get something out of it. They got convicted because here's what Jesus was saying. It's all about me, guys. You're missing it. I'm right here with you. And you're missing who I am. When we're confused and disillusioned, the Lord must open two things for us. The scripture and our eyes. Both are absolutely necessary. Light without sight is no good, and sight without light is no good. It takes both. Last, and I'm done, his purity. There's something that's going on here. You know, look at verse 32 again, the last part. And while he opened to us the scriptures, he opened their hearts. I'm going to tell you something. Over in Revelation, it talks about gold being tried in the fire. And what happens when gold is put through fire? It removes the impurities. You know, the Word of God is a cleansing word. So what I want to do right now in closing, I want you to listen to what Jesus said. And when Jesus, the greatest sermon ever preached was the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let me close this thing up right now saying, would you like to see God working in your life? Would you really? I'm going to give you three things that I promise you, and I can promise you this based on Scripture today. If you want your heart to stay on fire for God, if you'll do these three things, I promise you, your heart will stay on fire for God. Sometimes we feel like that God is far off and he's not so close. We feel like, well, there's something just not right in my life. Something's missing. I know I'm saved, but there's just something not quite clicking. What could it be? Three things. And I want to take these three things right now, and I want you to hear what I got to say. If you really want a heart on fire for God, then you got to take these three things and let them take over your life. You need to believe them. You need to breathe them. You need to bleed them. You need to bathe in them. You need to bask in his presence. Number one, word. I've already talked about it a lot, but this whole chapter, it really is about Jesus simply giving his word to his disciples. Notice what he says in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 35. You might want to write this down. Every word, this is King James, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. In other words, what Jesus did with these disciples, he sought them, he caught them, and then he taught them. I'll tell you, the Word of God, God is crying out to you and I, will you please read the book that I left for you? Hello, this is my instruction book. This is what you need to live the Christian life. And if you'll get into the Word and let the Word of God get in you, just as the Lord Jesus sought us when we were lost, Jesus met them along the way and he challenged them with the Word of God. He's done that many times for me. I know he's done it for you. He comes alongside not to condone or condemn, but to calm us and to comfort us and to claim us. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse you with the washing of water by the word. Hello? Amen. So if you want to stay on fire for God, stay close to the fire. Right, hey, his word is a cleansing word. Are you listening to me? You want to stay on fire for God? Then stay in his word. I know the devil's saying, you don't have time, but the devil's a liar. Amen. The word of God is truth, and it'll set you free. You feel burdened, you feel in bondage, you feel like the world's caving in on you, get in the word. And the word will set you free. I'll tell you this, you want to be spirit-filled? The Holy Spirit is always in attendance to the reading of the word of God. I believe you just read John 3:16, the Holy Spirit says, whoopee, hallelujah. Glory. Oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth, the Bible says. Boy, I said something, and we went to visit this couple Monday night. I don't know if they're here today or not. We went to visit them, and they said, something you said. And anytime someone says that, I said, oh, no, what did I say? She said, well, you said that if all you're getting is Sunday school and church, you're sunk. She said, I went to the bookstore Monday morning, and I bought a bunch of more books. I bought more Bibles. And I've got four children, and I'm homeschooling them, and we're just going to get in the Word. I'm telling you something, that's a blessing. You want your life, you want to experience the presence of God. You want your life to be pure. The Word of God will cleanse you. And then, yes, church, what you're doing here this morning, worship. It says in verse 31, we're talking about how to stay close to the fire, how to be on fire for God, for our hearts to be on fire. And their eyes were open and they knew him. To know him, church, is to worship him. And I've decided this. The reason we don't give him any better worship than we do is because we really don't know him. Oh, we know about him, but you don't really know him. Because if you really knew who God was, you'd all look like a bunch of Pentecostals. You would. I mean, if you really knew who God was, I don't believe any of us would be dead. He's alive. Amen. He got up from the grave. He lives. And I don't know about you. I know I'm not your average preacher. But folks, I don't come to church to worship a dead Savior. Amen. I come to church to serve a living Savior. Therefore, I'm not going to look dead. No. You say, well, Preacher Ronnie, I just think you just get too... Now, how can you get too excited about Jesus? You know, I think about this Family Life Center, and I know that's all a project of faith. You know what? Our church don't have the money to build that thing. We don't. There ain't no way that building's going to happen unless God puts it there. But you know what I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about what it would mean if this church, if we had a place where not just young people, but old people too, could just come together. Calling it a family life center. It's a worship place where people can come together and experience God. You know what? I thought about it. You know what? They got places out here in the world. Can I let the cat out of the bag? I don't know. Man, I hope I'm not messing up right now because I'm on live stuff here. But there's 34 folks who live where I live. The golf course was going to be sold. And they were afraid at Carolina Lakes that it was going to be bought up by folks who were going to put some condos in there or some kind of project, some kind of apartments, and that would just hurt everybody's property value and take away from the lake and all that stuff. And 31. And I won't tell you what I thought, but 31 people that maybe don't go to church came together and committed themselves, and they bought that golf course. And what blew my mind was what Bernie said the price of it was. $1.4 million. If 31 people are committed to do something like that, why can't God's people get together? I mean, I don't understand that. We say we believe in worship. Well, then you know what? That's worship too, isn't it? Because what, you know what? When I put my money in the offering plate, I worship him. You say, well, what if the church uses it wrong? Well, God will get the church. Yeah. You know what? But I'll tell you this. I really believe it's past time that we as a church make a statement and stand up for our Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what? The world's got their place for students to hang out, and they got their place for the church to hang out. Under God, why can't we have a safe place where people can come together and fellowship and learn about Jesus and grow in the Lord? You say, well, do you always have... You know what? We're not building no fancy place. It's a metal building. Ain't nothing fancy. It don't have to be fancy if God's in it. God will make it fancy. Amen. You say, well, preacher, how did you get off on that? I have no idea. That was not planned. But glory, 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 somebody touched me. Because all of a sudden, look what happens. It says that their eyes were open, and here's what, I think they had a spell, and they begin to think, we've been with Jesus all day long, the resurrected Christ. We've spent the whole day with him. We even invited him to our house, and you're talking about some worship going on. Let me tell you something. We know a lot about him, but to know him as Paul knows him in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. I believe these two disciples, they just had themselves a shouting fit, and they begin to say, oh, glory to God, he's touched me, and I'll never be the same. Oh, that's what worship is all about. Their hearts were on fire for the living God. Man, I thought about that. I know I'm a little off. Don't tell me. I know. You don't have to. But I got to thinking about that farmer's insurance. Yeah, that clip. I wish we had it where, the guy says, everybody's saying, you're on fire. You're on fire. You know, we got the internet now here in the sanctuary. Did y'all know that? Woo, we can live stream. Can you do that? You can? All right, let's watch that commercial.
At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything, even a red-hot mascot.
That's Ronnie.
Woo-hoo. Hey, you're on fire!
Worshiping, I'm worshiping. Here I am.
Fire. Oh, yeah!
Yeah, I'm on fire!
Fire! Look behind you!
Ah! Ah! I'm cool.
That's one way to fire up the crowd, but we covered it. Talk to farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. And maybe God just sent me here to help you get on fire. Because you know what? I know I'm on fire. And I feel the fire behind me every Sunday. I feel the anointing of God. I feel the presence of God. I really do. And I want you to know the same presence. Bless God. I believe I must have a crying spell right now because my heart's desire for you is to know the power of the resurrected Christ and to worship Him, to say, our God lives. He's not dead. I want to be on fire. And the last thing they did, they witnessed. Oh, they had to go out and tell everybody. Look at verse 33. And they rose up the same hour. They didn't have time for training. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Look at verse 34. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Oh, glory. Immediately, they went out and they told. They shouted. They began to tell it. They began to sing it. They began to share it. No longer seeing with the eyes of the flesh, but with the spiritual eyes of the Scriptures. And their hearts burned within them. And God opened the Word of God to them. And they began to tell everybody, He's alive, He's alive, but that wasn't good enough. He's alive indeed. I like that. Woo! You see, the pure in heart will see God in His Word. They will sing God in their worship, and they will speak God in their witness. I want you to have a burning, passionate love for Jesus Christ, to know not only that He's risen, but He's risen indeed. Oh, would you come to Jesus today? That's our invitation. He'll light your fire. I tell you, I feel like I just got to take off about right now. I really believe that He wants to light your fire. And all you got to do is stay close to the fire. The Word of God. Worship. This time here today is never wasted time. I've had several people in our church get on me. Preacher, don't look at the clock. So I don't look at the clock no more. You know why our worship's more important than the blooming clock?
Amen.
And folks, right now, I'm going to ask you, would you get close to the fire? Wouldn't it be great that they came out with a commercial, not Farmers Insurance, but I say our insurance is Church Mutual. And Church Mutual came up with a campaign, and they used Gore Springs Baptist Church. And we were all in that car together, and people were saying, you're on fire. You're on fire, Gore Springs. You're on fire. And they would say, no, literally, you are on fire. Wouldn't that be wonderful? What a testimony. I just want to encourage you to do this. I don't want to be a fire extinguisher for this church. I don't want to put your fire out. I want to light your fire.
Amen.
I want to stoke the fire. I want to enable you. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Do you have a heart for God? Have you placed your faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to Him in salvation? If not, then I want to invite you to come to Him right now. Jesus came to you, and He came out of that grave so He could live in your heart.
Amen.
He's alive. Sin will immediately quench a burning heart. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. What did sin do? It quenched the fire of God in him. But you know what God did to David? God restored him. There's hope for everybody here today. Let's bow our head. Father, if there's one here today that don't know you and pardon and forgiveness of sin, Lord, they haven't trusted you by giving their heart to you. I pray today that they'll give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that today they will have a heart that's on fire for you. If there are Christians, Lord, and their heart has sort of been growing dim and the fire is barely seen there, it's just sort of smothering. I pray today, Father, that you'll light their fire. God, I pray today that as Jesus taught with these two disciples, and all He did was just give them the Word, their hearts burned within them, not because they saw the physical appearance of Jesus, but because the Scriptures were open to them. Oh, God, I believe that's the meat of this message. the Word of God. And because of the Word of God, they begin to worship right there where their eyes were open and they realized they'd been with you all the time and they worshiped you. And then they went out and witnessed and they told everyone about you. God, may this church be a witnessing church. I pray that we'll not be able to keep this to ourselves, that we'll go out and tell a lost and dying world, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Oh God, prepare our hearts as we get ready the next few weeks for the Lord's Supper, for the Easter sunrise service, for the Easter service. And God, I pray that we'll be like these two disciples, that our hearts would burn within us because we're on fire for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all stand as we sing. Come to Jesus today. He'll light your fire. This altar's wide open for everyone. Would you come to Him today?